Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for watching over all of us. And Lord, thank you, Lord, that nothing can escape your eyes. Nothing can escape from your sight. For the Spirit searcheth all things, the deep things of God. Blessed be your holy name, O Lord. We were able to come here after 7 days because you watched over all of us. We were able to breathe today because you have chosen to show your mercy to all of us today. And Lord, we are all alive today because, oh Lord, you want us to glorify your holy name, the mighty name, the only name that is given for the salvation of all, Jesus Christ, our Savior, Yeshua, the Holy One of Israel, the Mighty One of Israel. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you had chosen all of us before the foundations of the world to serve thee, to receive your grace and to serve you, to praise you and to worship you in spirit as one family of God, united by the Spirit of God, established in the present truth, the truth, the foundation, the revelation that is not given to anyone but only to the children of God. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, we are the children of God, the children of the King of Kings. We are not the children of anyone, but we are the children of the King who rules all, who has received the power and authority, the dominion over everything. Before you, Lord, everything bow, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess, Lord, that you are the Lord, you are the only Savior, our Master, our Teacher. Lord, we praise you, we bless your holy name. And thank you, Lord, that you have given your name to all of us. The name that is written on our foreheads, it tells us who we are. We are part of you, Lord. We are part of the Word. Bless us, Lord, as we gather here as the congregation of the Lord. Unite us in spirit and help us to understand the very existence, the purpose of us living this little life on this earth is to fill your glory, is to fulfill your promise, is to make your spirit to be pleased that we live a life in which the tabernacle glorifies the Shekinah glory, the name above all names. Lord, help all of us to glorify your name, to live a life where you come and tell all of us, my faithful servant, I am pleased in you. Help us, Lord. Guide us, Lord. We are here to decrease, for you must increase. The head of the church is you. The master of all of us is you. The governor who builds the wall is you. The king who rules the people is you. The high priest who intercedes and prays for one another is you. The advocate who intercedes for our sins is you. The judge, the righteous judge, who will judge all of us to life and death is you. It is you, Lord, all in all. For we are all created in you, through you, by you and for you. May you take complete control of our church. We surrender our heart, our soul, our spirit, our body, our mind as a whole, a complete sacrifice before thee, O Lord. Help us and burn your spirit in us, Lord. Not any fire, O Lord. We don't want the flame, we want the wild fire of Father. But we are the last church age. Help us to press on, to move forward. As the spiritual wickedness grow abundantly, the grace of God, the mercy of God, the power of God, the power of your resurrection, help us, Lord, to grow with the wildfire, for us to climb the mountain, for us to burn our flesh, for us to consume darkness with the true light that is given to all of us deep inside, the living Word that is working in us. We bless your holy name. Sanctify the place. Consecrate all of us, for we are the tabernacle of your presence, O Lord. Help us to receive you in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Shalom, dear brethren. God bless you all. You may be all seated. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Greetings to you all, overseas, dear brethren. Thank you for joining us. We are all united in spirit. Amen. Like how the governor Nehemiah said, we are separated upon the wall, and the trumpet blows, and there is a great shout. We tarry there, we gather. The Lord will assemble His children. Amen. The Lord will gather His children. And He is the one who decided to scatter them because the scripture must come to pass. Holy, 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 the Lord God Almighty, for the whole earth is filled with His glory. His children are His glory. His tabernacle is where the Shekinah glory can descend. If the Lord cannot see the vessels who yield to Him, He cannot bring His glory there. Because the Lord is holy, in Him there is no darkness. He is light, in Him there is no darkness. May the Lord bless us to understand the purpose of us passing through this little journey. It's like the Lord dropped His seed from eternity to go through a particular period of time for the word to complete, to be completed in all our lives, to be fulfilled in all our lives. Then the Lord will take His seeds back to eternity. The reconciliation, the redemption, the fall and the rise. Amen. The death and the resurrection, the night and the daybreak. May the Lord bless us that every day, every week, whatever that we do in the name of the Lord, in the church, as a fellowship, as the family of God, never forget, we are here to grow according to His will, to attain the measure of the fullness of Christ. Amen. That is the goal, our mark. We are not here to fulfill a checklist. This week we gathered, we prayed, checklist done. Okay, let's wait for next week. No. The Lord, His children, the trees of righteousness, are meant to grow, to attain the full measure that He had purposed in His heart. So when He casts down the nets, He will catch the fish. Amen. Growth, progress, stability in our spiritual life can only be given unto us by the Spirit of the Lord. Not by our strength, not by our might, not by our mind, not by our knowledge, not by our wisdom. The truth is, there are people who are super strong than you in this world. They are extremely smarter, intelligent, wise than you in this world. But the Lord called all of us, you foolish things of the world. We are all fools to the world. But the Lord called all of us to be wise in His word. It is true, right? In any country, if there is a big celebrity comes in, the whole country will go crazy and they will say, we are going to support something for the economy and we are doing this. All the tickets will be sold out. Everything will be a flash news. If in the same country, if then a true servant of God steps in, nobody knows. They will come as a spy. They will leave as a spy. Like those two spies the Lord sent to the city of Jericho. Don't you think, was it the right way of doing things? If we say, Lord, you are the righteous judge, then why the Lord had commanded His servant Moses, why the Lord had commanded His children to do certain things in a subtle way? Sending two spies to the city of Jericho, it could have been different, right? Those two could go and stand in the gate. We are here to speak the truth. We are going to invade the city to come and tell you who you are and to search everything that you need to go and report. Then they would be killed on the same spot. But they were sent as two spies. Even in the end of times, two witnesses will come. Amen? Two witnesses will come. They will come and will get killed. All the deep things of God are hidden in the plain sight. For the children of God who are called to go to that plain, do you know what is the beautiful representation of plain? If the Lord tells you, I'm going to show you the foundation, He will only show the foundation. Amen? Is He going to show the pillars, the doors, the number of floors? No. He said, I will show you the foundation. The foundation is the plain. Amen? It's the base on which we stand. It's the very reason of our existence. Now you are seated, but in the sight of the Lord we are standing. Amen? The Spirit entered into me, set me upon my feet. If you believe you are all filled with the Spirit of the Lord, in spirit you are standing as you listen to the word of God. For the Lord, He looks, He searches, He examines, He scans you thoroughly to the extent that He will only see the spirit man whom He is concerned about. Now, if the Lord sent two spies, if the Lord is about to send two witnesses, and the Lord is secretly reaping his seeds, gathering his saints, redeeming his souls, the redemption, the restoration is keep on going. On the other side, there is a big noise of confusions, economical issues in nations. People started worshipping, what do you call, motivational speakers, celebrities. People start worshipping people. What is the sign of it? 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let's go there. Let's understand the time that we live in. Verse 1. This know also that in the last days, perilous time shall come. Let's stop there. Verse 1 talks about two important words. Days, times. But we only know there is only one time. And the time is keep on moving. If you lose this second becomes the past. And this present second will become the past. It keeps on moving. Never stops for anyone. It's a simple representation of how the Lord is moving. As like a sweet river, the river stops for none. Either we go with it or we get stuck. Or we are cast away from the river to the shore. Now, in the last days, plural, perilous times, plural, will come. Ecclesiastes teaches us concerning how the Lord sees the time, season. Season of joy, season of pain, season of peace, season of life, season of death. So, to the sight of the Lord, He has seasons planned, seasoned through the time. Amen? He sent Israel to slavery, He redeemed them, He put them in the promised land, they fell again, He redeems them, the Jews became blind, they could not see the only Savior, and now they are waiting for the repentance, when the Lord opened, teared down their veil. Likewise, every single soul that are of the Lord's are going through a particular time in their lives. We could see, right? You are happy yesterday, today something strike you, you became very sad. You are healthy tomorrow, then 2 days later you became sick. So our life, our body, our mind, sometimes we are happy, then we are completely occupied, distracted by the noises around us. Everything that happens in your life, I ask you, do you believe that your Savior is in complete control? If you do not believe that my life is under the banner of His love, that I dwell in the strong tower of His name, if you do not believe, then you have one leg inside the shelter, one leg outside the shelter. We might be thinking, I'm growing, I will come in, but never forget, one of your legs is exposed to the wild beast. It's not on the highway of holiness. That's why the Lord said, I will draw you closer. Just take your leg. Don't even have to move. He will draw you. Because when you put your foot down on worldly things, your mind, your free will says, nobody should disturb me. Even God cannot disturb you. Throughout the Bible, did you see a single servant of God whom the Lord forced him to serve him? Can Apostle Paul say, I will never serve you? And the Lord say, I'm going to speak a word. Now I'm going to change your mind. From now on, you will be apostle for sure. The Lord would never say that. He told Ananias, my child, Saul, is going to become a vessel to embrace his sufferings, to be persecuted for his name's sake. For the father knows his children. He is not controlling his children. He would never ever manipulate our mind. He is all about cheerful heart. Amen? So now, if the Lord warned us, perilous times will come, can He keep one of our foot outside the fort, outside the wall, outside the tabernacle, outside the temple where the glory of the Lord built a wall of fire? Perilous times will come. And how the Lord defines the time is what makes it so beautiful. Verse 2, everything is compared to men. That's what quite surprising. Everything is compared to men. The perilous time. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. In that verse, do you know which word strike me very hard? Disobedient to parents. Because the very first sermon of this sermon series on the wrath of God, the title was Children of Disobedience. Do you remember? Children of disobedience are reserved for the wrath of God. Amen? Then the children of obedience are reserved for the life of God. The book of Isaiah says, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Amen? But that word willing makes the obedience to be of cheerful heart. If the Lord comes and builds his own tower in this world right now, and appoints his apostles around the tower, his watchmen, his mighty servants, imagine Moses, Aaron, Abraham, Isaac, Apostle Paul, David, Samuel, whatever the mighty servants of God they can think of. Let's say they have a tower right now, and the Lord given them the power to speak and to clean the whole earth. Everyone will obey him, will be scared to death. Oh, these apostles, these mighty prophets, they speak, everything happens. So we have no choice but to obey him. That is not the obedience God would accept. That is why in the last time, the end of days will be very subtle. He looks at people, his children, who are obedient, not by themselves, but by the manifestation of the word that is deeply working inside them. Not heard by them, not seen by them, that is working inside them. Because blessed is the one who believeth without even seeing. The Lord told us, set your eyes on things above. But the Lord told us, you can't walk by your eyes, walk by faith. Set your holy faith that can put you to focus on things that are above. Everything, flesh, carnal, death, self-righteousness, everything that defines you as a person, the Lord wants you to come out of it. Perilous times starts by comparing what will happen to men, and the Lord says, you are not the children of men, you are not the children of disobedience, you are the children of God. Now, disobedient to parents, because if a child is brought forth to the world by the mother and by the father, if the child grows to the extent that it can do self-thinking, reasoning, understanding the life of its own, and then builds this confidence, so to say, to go against the parents and tell them, I know what to do. But the Bible says, obey your parents in Christ. Amen? In the word of the Lord. If the Lord has put you in a place where your father says, I want you to worship this heathen image, then you politely say, in the word of the Lord, I cannot obey this, because I will do anything, everything you say in the word of the Lord. If the father says, do this, do that, we have to obey our parents in the word of the Lord. Amen? Even if the parents go against the word, what you should do? Hold your honor and reverence for your parents until the day the Lord will make them to you as your brother, your sister in Christ. If you believe, it will happen. Nobody is stopping them. But during this time, the Lord will check how we behave in our household, because we cannot have a different life in the house of the Lord, and we can have a different life in the house where you stay. But to the Lord, you are the house. Wherever you go, you are the house of the Lord. He is the same yesterday, today and forever. So you should be the same yesterday, today, forever. If you believe the Lord is in you, you have to be the same forever. What is that same? Children of God. Children of the King. The Lord who called all of us to be holy. But are we holy without him? Are we perfect without him? No. That tells us why we are breathing right now, you and me. Our life has to be perfected by him before we draw our last breath. Correct? Before we say farewell to this journey in this world, the Lord wants to finish his writing in your life. The author of your salvation wants to finish it the way he started it. That is our desire. Amen? Those who died in faith receive not the promise. May the Lord bless all of us that we all will fulfill that word. Either He come and take us home when we are alive, transformed, or when the Lord allows us to draw our last breath, blessed be the name of the Lord. May the Lord bless us to close our eyes with peace of God, with the joy of the Lord, with the strength of the Lord, remembering His grace and mercy that He was faithful to all of us throughout our life. Because unthankful separates children of God from Him. Unthankful, being completely hardened to the extent that you totally forgot what the Lord did in your life. You totally forgot how weak you were, how bad you were, how sins you committed, what kind of darkness you lived in, just because the Lord pulled you into this marvelous light for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, then that overconfidence would make you unthankful. The Lord says, calm down, go to the plain. Do not have towers around you. Towers will obstruct your vision. Amen? We are called to stand on the foundation where you turn 360, you will only see Jesus. Where you look up, you will see the Father is watching over you. Wherever you will see Him having dominion over your life. His love controls you. When you want to do something sinful, when you take one step out of the highway of holiness, you will get a smote from the angel next to you. Don't do it. The faster you get hit, better it is. The delay it gets, over time, you would never get a warning. Remember how many times the Lord warned King Saul. He was keep on ignoring the warnings. Until the day there was no warning anymore. Now, verse 3, without natural obstruction, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Why I am reading this? First few Sundays, we are focusing on the journey of King Hezekiah and the journey of the governor Nehemiah, one who is building the wall, one who is ruling a kingdom where the wall is built. And both of them, they face a group of adversity against the work that was going on in their life by God. The adversaries thought, I'm going to hinder the work, I'm going to stop them from building the wall, I'm going to disturb King Hezekiah, but nobody can stop God. Amen? No one can stop God. No one can stand in His way. All we need to do is to have God in you. To have His Spirit in you. Everything else, your tabernacle, your temple, as the Lord blessed you with, to receive His glory, will take care of it. The glory of the Lord will do the rest. This is what we are learning from the life of Nehemiah and Hezekiah. The story is not complete because I want to approach this from 2 Chronicles. Two Sundays ago, we finished it from the book of Isaiah 36 and 37. But there is another side to it in 2 Chronicles chapter 29 and 30. We will go there. Last Sunday, where we left, Nehemiah was crying to the Lord of all things happened to the broken walls. People are going in very sinful ways. Enemies are despising them. Nehemiah was crying to the Lord, Lord, this is not happening. Give us a strength. Guide us. Bless us to build the wall. That is chapter 1. Chapter 4 introduces Sanballat, another vessel of adversary similar to King Sennacherib. And this Sanballat forms team with Tobiah. And this team, they are trying to invade, to hinder the work of those who are building the wall. Amen? But they could not. So what happened after that? We finished last Sunday's sermon with two names, Shemaiah and Eliashib. So the Bible says, Nehemiah is speaking to us, I perceived that God had not sent him. So he is proclaiming the Spirit that worketh in him to give him the discernment, to make him understand, I did not send him. And he says, I perceive. Perceive means it's not you are learning for all these years because of the learning you perceive. No. In the life of a Christian, the life of a vessel of God, perception means the revelation at that point of time given by the Spirit of the Lord in your life.
Not because of what you did, what happened to you in your past. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. When Nehemiah said, I perceive, he said, the Spirit of the Lord taught me, showed to me, revealed to me that God did not send him at that point of time. The Spirit is working in him. Amen. Never take glory from your past, for you have no control. Never have confidence in your tomorrow, for you will never see tomorrow if the Lord did not want you to see tomorrow. Be established in the present truth. It means feel the joy, the confidence, the boldness that God, the Almighty, the Holy One of Israel is in you. Not just somewhere looking at you. In you. That confidence is that wall the enemy is trying to break. Those who are listening, those who will listen, remember this. The only motivation of that enemy or all of those who are hired by the enemy is to go and hit that confidence and tell you God is far away from you. You are not worthy. Never let this thought to enter your world. Do not have any breaches in your heart. The world represents two things. How you guard your heart and how you guard the house of the Lord. Because the Lord's word is very granular. It goes to a city, goes to a temple, goes to a church, goes to a fellowship, goes to a congregation. But the very motivation of everything is go to your heart. Your heart is His tabernacle. Your heart is where He wants to dwell. He wants to have all. You can't tell Him, live in three rooms, two rooms I'm keeping for my family or my office or my worldly stuff. He wants all. His name is Almighty. Not any mighty. Almighty. All. Now, if the Lord wants us to be very careful not to have any breach of your wall that guards your heart, and if the Lord wants us to be very careful in our church, in our city, in our fellowship, in the congregation of the Lord, no breach means it's not someone is breaking this wall. Someone became the vessel of the adversary is that breach the Lord wants us to be very careful of. Because the enemy will put on sheep clothing, will enter the flock. I ask you a question. God knows that, right? The shepherd knows that, right? Then why the shepherd allows that? Why the shepherd allows wolves to enter to his flock in sheep clothing? When Adam and Eve, they found themselves naked, they were so shameful, they hide behind the tree, they did something to cover themselves, right? But when God saw them, what he did not accept their clothing. He made another clothing for them to be clothed. It's like you have a newborn child in your house, and the child wants to change the dress by itself, knowing that it feels naked, a 3 months old child, and the mother comes and sees, oh, this is not the clothes I want you to put on. Put on this cloth. Put on this cloth. If the Lord is so specific, so concerned about our clothing in our spiritual life, how much more He will be looking at your heart? How much more He will be examining your mind? How much more He will be analyzing your thoughts, your intent, the deep intent? That is why the word of God is compared to a double-edged sword. It's not a flat weapon to hit you on the head. It's a sharp sword. Go straight to your heart. Divide everything into two, bones and marrow, intents and thoughts. It divides everything to see where we stand. So this journey, Hezekiah was trying to be disturbed by Sennacherib, Rakshaka. Nehemiah was trying to be disturbed by Sanballat and Tobiah. Amen? Now the difference is, that enemy who was calling himself, I'm a great king, was killed by his two sons. The enemy was destroyed by the angel of the Lord. Case closed. They could not invade the wall. They could not have a breach. But this enemy, Sanballat and Tobiah, they are very cunning. They were able to hire someone inside the city, inside the congregation. And the Bible clearly says, Nehemiah, he understood that Shemaiah was hired by Tobiah. Do you know the word Shemaiah? There are more than 15 characters in the Bible who have the same name as Shemaiah. To be precise, around 18. There are 18 different Shemaiahs in the Bible. That is why the Lord, whenever He identifies someone, if that someone is a sinful, scornful person, He goes through three generations. Son of this, son of this, son of this. Isaiah, son of Amos. David, son of Jesse. Abraham, son of Terah. But when the Lord identifies someone who had brought dishonor, something to profane in His temple, He goes and highlights three generations. Why? It is scripture. Now Shemaiah was hired by Tobiah because the enemies could not enter from outside, so they are creating a breach inside. Where? Inside. So now you see how things are different. I mentioned to you a few Sundays ago, the Lord deals things differently outside the wall, outside the city, outside the tabernacle, outside the camp, outside your very own self. And the Lord deals differently inside your heart, inside the church, inside the congregation, inside the tabernacle, inside the camp. Inside, outside. When Moses came, the Bible says, God blessed him to clean the camp in and out. In and out. Do you remember? And when Apostle Paul wrote letters and we read epistles, we are called to be prepared to preach in season, out season. Amen? In and out. In and out. When the sword goes to your heart, it's in. When it comes out, it brings something out, right? It's not going to come out with the same clean sword. It returns with it's going with some blood. Some blood stain on the sword, right? So now let's read this. Verse 4, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Are we all the lovers of God? The Song of Solomon cannot be read if you are not in spirit. It can never be understood if you are not led by the Spirit of the Lord. It's a book that can twist people, that can show people how naked you are, how carnal you are. Lovers of God. Adam knew Eve. Bring forth Abel. Abel was killed by Cain. The Lord gave them sin. Amen? And the blood of Abel was called as righteous Abel. Earned a name from the life itself. Jesus Christ told him, told all of us, righteous Abel shed the blood. And the blood was clinging unto the Lord. Now the last Adam, the quickening spirit, he knew his Eve. You. Me. So what we bring forth? What we bring forth? Life. The last Adam is quickening spirit. In spirit, the Lord wants to know us. Amen? The Lord wants to know us in spirit because we are part of the Word. That intimacy is completely spiritual to the extent that it is compared to Adam knew Eve, Jesus knew bride. Marriage of the Lamb is the holy prefiguration of how the Lord wants all of us to put back in Him. Amen? Put back all of us in Him. For Him we are created, in Him we are created, by Him we are created, and through Him we are created. The Lord called all of us lovers of God, children of God. But what people do now? They love themselves more than they are called to be the lovers of God, but they could not. For that reason, they just love themselves. Self-righteousness is a good example of you love yourself. That's why I said last Sunday, if your mind pollutes you, deceives you, to look for justification, there is no difference between us and the adversary who was using the word of the Lord to tempt Jesus, who was using the word of the Lord to tempt Eve. Word of the Lord has to be lived in our life for others to see even without your known knowledge. We are called to live that word, not to justify the word. Scripture says, He is the one who calleth, who justifieth. Amen? So now, lovers of themselves. Verse 5 is the most main focus of today's sermon. Having a form of godliness. Having a form of godliness. Denominations are perfect example for this word. Having a form of godliness, but not the godliness of what God expects us to be. So there is a form. Having a form. If all the churches come and say, let's go and worship the enemy, nobody will go. But what they would say, let's go and worship God. Let's go and carry the Bible. Let's go and do something for God. In the name of serving God, in the name of being spiritual, in the name of being someone sent by God, used by God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. But denying the power thereof, from such turn away. From such turn away. The Lord sent David to fight against Goliath, but the Lord wanted David to avoid committing a sin with Bathsheba. But what we do, whenever there is an adversary in your life, whenever some strong storm comes in your life, you go and stand very firm in front of everything and saying that, I am with God, God is with me, I am going to break the entire palace, I am going to break this entire enemy, I have Ephesians 6 on my life, armor of God. Let's ask the Spirit to teach us what to do, what to speak, how to think. There are battles you are not supposed to be in. There are arguments you should never be in. There are situations you should never be present in those situations. If we have that discernment, the Lord will turn us away from all ungodly things that are not yours to settle. Having a form of godliness, from such turn away. Who says it? The Lord says it, turn away. Now, why they deny the power thereof? Denying the power thereof. Now, let's ask a question. Can you deny the power of resurrection in your life? Yes. You can say, I do not believe in Jesus. I don't think He died for me. I don't care what happened in Calvary. I don't know because I didn't see. And for that reason, I don't believe in Him. When you say that, you deny the power of resurrection in your life. The last Adam cannot quicken you, right? When the Lord reveals Himself to us, He knows His child, His sheep will hear His voice. To those He reveals Himself. Because the word of the Lord will never return in vain. Amen? He would not go and speak to a wall. Believe me, trust me. He would never do that. He built the wall with His lively stone. You are the wall. I am the wall. If we are the lively stone. Not if we are the stone of death. Nothing but brick. No. That is a bridge. So, if we have the power to deny the power of resurrection, and that power is your flesh, is your carnal mind, is your own understanding, is your free will that compasses all. To define you as that fulfillment of the word, all have sinned, fall short of the glory of the Lord. We should also fulfill that word, right? But the Lord wants us to come out of that fulfillment and to be the fulfillment of the life, which is to rule with Him forever. So, having a form of godliness doesn't mean that God is in you. Believing and saying that I follow Jesus, I believe Jesus, there are millions, billions of people can say that. But that doesn't mean that the Spirit of the Lord is in them. Having a form of godliness is not your calling. Conform to the image of God is your calling. To show that I am a spiritual person is not your calling. To receive the Spirit deep inside you, for the Spirit to have dominion over you, is your calling. The Bible says the world cannot see you. Only those who are in the same faith can see you. Only those who have received the eyes in the Spirit can see the brother and sister in Christ when the Father is the one who stands between them. The only bridge. The only bridge. The only foundation. So now, verse 6 says, for this sort are they which creep into houses. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, verse 6 tells us why the Lord allowed them to exist and what they are going to do and what you should be concerned of, what you should be aware of. Having a form of godliness, denying the power thereof, from such turn away, because verse 6 says, they will creep into houses. What? They will not walk into houses like an upright creation of God where the Spirit enters into you, set yourself upon feet. If the Spirit does not enter you, you will not be upright in the sight of the Lord, although you walk straight. They will creep into houses, sneaking in, trying to invade. Now let's bring Sennacherib. Think about it. King Sennacherib, was he showing any form of godliness? No. He was worshipping some god called Nisroch. In his house, it's not form of godliness, it's form of evil, heathen. There is only one God. But Shemaiah, was he holding on to a form of godliness? Yes. Yes. Nehemiah said, I perceive that God did not send me. Shemaiah told Nehemiah, come, let's go to the house of the Lord, shut all the doors and discuss. Enemy is coming, we should seal everything. The enemy will devour us. Having a form of godliness is when a vessel has become the vessel of dishonor, going against the grace, mercy, love, joy, faith, everything that God had purposed in that life, goes against all and say, I love Sanballat, Tobiah more than my Savior, Jesus Christ. I love Sanballat and Tobiah to the extent that I bowed my head for them to hire me, although I was called to serve the Lord. Let's turn your Bibles. Nehemiah, let's give an introduction of these people. We started from verse chapter 4 for a reason, so that I can go back. We read about them, who they are, or who they were. Let's quickly cover the reason why Sanballat and Tobiah, they went against Nehemiah. Amen? Remember, Hezekiah, Sennacherib, Rabshakeh, that story is not over yet. There is another beautiful side to it in 2 Chronicles. So we are going to go these two in parallel for the Lord to teach us how beautiful He is. Chapter 1, verse 3. Chapter 1, verse 3. Nehemiah. See, in my mother tongue, Nehemiah is pronounced as Nehemiah. Jeremiah is pronounced as Jeremiah. So in case if I speak any of it, just bear with me that I speak the same as you. Chapter 1, verse 3. And they said unto me, the remnants that are left of the captivity that are in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof burned with fire. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Verse 3 is the reason the book of Nehemiah was written. To show us, all of us, how the Lord raises a governor, how the Lord controls the work, and how the Lord watches over His children, how the Lord equips His builder, and how the Lord raises the adversary, and how the Lord allows the wolves to enter the congregation for the Lord to bless His children to exercise that faith. What's the point if you learn how to do archery for 10 years, but you never receive a chance to take a bow and arrow in your hand? Can you say, I have studied all 10 books of archery, I know all the techniques, and the Lord comes and gives you a bow and arrow, hit this bullseye for me? Then you would say, no, Lord, I didn't go for practice sessions, I just only know the theoretical knowledge. Doesn't matter, you are not a warrior. You are not a soldier. Exercising the faith is what differentiates the children of God from those having the form of godliness. When you exercise your faith, your nakedness will be uncovered. Do you know that? Why the Lord throws you into stone? To teach you the garments that you are wearing without even know your knowledge. The Lord wants you to throw it and put on His garments. Those who go against Him, then they would know, oh, I thought I'm a child of God, but apparently it seems I am not. Because the Lord threw me into a stone, I told there is no Jesus, there is no God, there is no Savior, because I was a very good person. It's not fair, the Lord took my loved one. It's not fair, I have this illness. It's not fair, I'm going through some terrible sickness, I'm going to die. It's not fair. Then we sing the song, oh Lord, how fair you were. The rose of Sharon, how beautiful you were. Then what we were singing? Sing with understanding, sing in truth. If not better, we don't sing. Do not be, I don't want us to be the fulfillment of God's word where the Lord says, their lips say so many things, but their heart far away from me. Joshua, depart not from the tabernacle. May the Lord bless us to be the prisoner, to stay in the camp, the city, the prison of His love. Verse 3 is the state of which the story begins. The walls of Jerusalem broken, the gates thereof burnt. It's a verse to test people. How come Jerusalem, the holy city, the city of God, how come the Lord allowed the enemies to break the wall? How come the Lord allows the gates to be burnt? Let's do not be limited by the physical aspects. And the Lord told Samuel, go and choose my servant from the family of Jesse. Samuel thought the first one is the anointed. And the Lord said, I don't see the way you see. You look at the outward appearances. The Lord called David, who was simply spending his time joyfully with the sheep. How beautiful it is. David was a shepherd. He was a warrior. He was a king. He writes songs. He is all that God wants all of us to be. Praise, worship, king. How beautiful the life of David. Fall and rise. Now, the wall of Jerusalem will never be broken. The gate of Jerusalem can never be burnt. If we truly know what the Lord is doing in our life, the new holy city Jerusalem, all spiritual. Amen? It's all spiritual. Even now, over his brethren, all those true worshippers of God, we are all sitting upon the same wall. Cannot be seen by the world. We are all united. Although the world thought, oh, he is in Japan, he is in Norway, he is in Canada, he is in Lagos. There is no way these guys can come together. Oh yes, we will come together in spirit. Nobody can stop us. The Lord allows things to happen this way. Amen? To confound and to gather. To scatter and to gather. And to protect and to destroy. Now, this King Sennacherib, he decided to gather his enemies, assuming that he will take over the city of King Hezekiah, right? So after the gathering is done, the Lord sent his angel to destroy them. That's the most efficient way of cleaning, right? Remember when Korah, Dathan, Abiram rebelled against Moses, do you know what really happened there? There were 250 people who also burned incense with them. The Lord waited until these three guys went and hired the 250 candidates, the 250 Shemaiahs. When all those 250 were hired, then the Lord came down, then looked at, oh, all gathering is done. Am I ready to cut? Am I ready to kill? Am I ready to destroy? Am I ready to devour? Am I ready to swallow them up with my earth opening wide? When the Lord says everything, 250, number is there, 3, number is there. Okay, good. Let's close the case. Now you know why the Lord waits. He waits because He is gracious. He waits for the iniquity to be full because He cut once. He judged once. The righteous judge would never judge twice. He is righteous. Amen? He says once. He died once. He resurrected once. He spoke once. He will judge once. He will punish and perfect you again and again. Why? Psalm says, the words of the Lord are purified 7 times. Amen? Because you fall again, again, again. I fall again and again and again. We are so weak for the Lord to raise us again and again and again. If we are completely perfected, you fall once, you rise once, and you will finish your race. But we are not. We are filthy. We are weak. We are carnal. We are so, so insincere, unholy, unthankful. No matter how many times you receive His grace and mercy, you will every time you say, I want to stab you in the back. Because you can never go before Him. When the husband loves the wife so dearly, the wife can simply have an affair with some other man and kill the husband, the trust, the love, the sacrifice that he had for her. But that doesn't mean that life is over. What David did could have been like an end of story for the entire world, right? It is true. Remember, David is a king. What he did to Bathsheba was might have been spoken throughout the nation. The whole world would have cursed David. The whole world would have spoken evil things of David. The whole world would have thought, I told you, this guy, that was a luck, he killed Goliath. Everything that happened in his life, he was worshipping some heathen god. Someone is behind him. It's not God. If it is God, then how come he can commit such a sin? But the Lord surprised all of them by restoring him to a place which was stronger, taller, mightier than ever before. He brought Solomon out of his line. Jesus identifies himself to David. Imagine what happened to Judah and Tamar. A daughter-in-law, come on, seriously, that's what people will say. But the Lord identifies his royal genealogy all the way back to Judah. Then we say, the Lion of Judah. What we see, we don't see. Our carnal mind will remind you how carnal you are. What we see, we don't see. But what we believe is what makes you see. And for that reason, we are not here to look. Amen? We are here to see what the Spirit wants you to see. We are here to hear what the Spirit wants you to hear. Do you know? Nobody can hear the gospel of peace if the Lord didn't bless them to hear. Nobody can see the divine hand of God if the Spirit does not give you the eyes to see. Seeing, hearing, believing and living is the identification of the Spirit did not leave the tabernacle. If we can't, the day we can't listen, the day we can't see, the day we can't be focused, the day we keep on distracted, the tabernacle is empty. You know what do you mean by empty tabernacle? It is equivalent to a tomb where you put the body and seal it, right? Why you call this as a house? Because there is a door. All of you stay in a place. You have a door. Amen? Can you say, oh, Brother Prasi, wait, I will just jump over my window. What? Your home has no door? No, I'm just keeping it minimal. I have window, use it for wind flow, I will also flow out of it, come inside. A house must have a door for people to come in and go out. But the landlord decides who comes in, who goes out. Amen? Because it is his house. The tabernacle, when Moses entered, the Shekinah glory descended. The Bible says, people stood at their door, at their tent, and they saw, and they worshipped the Lord. Amen? Now, why the word door is very important? We are going to study today how this verse in 2 Timothy chapter 3, having a form of godliness, can be learned from the book of Isaiah, chapter 36, 37, what happened to King Hezekiah, King Sennacherib, Rabshakeh, Eliakim, and the other two, Asaph, son of Joab. Now, on the other side, Nehemiah and Sanballat, Tobiah, having a form of godliness, how it plays out. Now, let's read this. Chapter 1 defines why Nehemiah cried. You know, the introduction of Nehemiah is so beautiful, that is why I compare him to the weeping prophet Jeremiah. If you look at verse 4, and it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept. I sat down and wept. The Spirit of the Lord entered into me, set me upon my feet. I sat down and wept. So, the introduction of Nehemiah starts with tears. Cry of a child of God. And mourned certain days, and fasted, and prayed before the God of heaven. This is how Nehemiah begins the journey. How beautiful. Is there any other better way of beginning? No, of like a beginning to build a wall. The wall of Jerusalem was allowed to be broken. The gates of Jerusalem was allowed to be burned by God because there is nothing but bricks. If the glory of the Lord is not there, what is the point? It's not a temple. You are the temple. But when Nehemiah is crying, weeping, fasting, praying to the sight of the Lord, the wall is ready. The brick is ready. One stone is ready to work. And after that, he builds everything around it. Amen? He gives him people. He sends letters to kings. He receives support for all that he wanted. The Lord is the provider. That is why we call him the Savior. Savior must provide, right? If you tell him, Lord, I lack, which means you tell the Lord, you are not the Savior. Be very careful how you speak of the Lord, how you pray to the Lord. Never tell him you don't provide. If you tell him you don't provide, you are telling him you are not the Savior. The children of God, they lack nothing in the wilderness. It is scripture. The Lord knows His children by the way you speak in holy faith. He is the Savior. So He is the provider. He provides all you need. His grace is sufficient to thee. Now, and I said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God, that keepeth covenant mercy for them that love Him and observe His commandments. He simply finished everything in verse 5. The Lord who keeps His commandments, His mercy to those who observe them. What do you mean by observing? Monitoring is not observation. We observe the feast of the Lord. Amen? What do you mean by observe? You keep, you believe, you do it joyfully without failing. Amen. Do not delay in performing the commandments of the Lord. Scripture. Amen. What is the delay? You do as the Lord wanted you to do. You finish the work as the Lord wanted you to finish. How you do it? By yielding. 52 days was the time that Lord had purpose in His mind for the wall to be built. Amen? Even if there are millions of Sanballat, Sennacherib, the whole world goes against it. That wall would have been built in 52 days. Even if Nehemiah went against God, the Lord would have raised someone. That wall will be built 52 days, not less, not more. None. Even if the entire building of wall profane His name, the Lord will save all those enemies who came to destroy. They may become the builders, and the builders may become the enemy. But whatever happens, the wall will be built in 52 days. No one is stopping it. For the Lord had purposed it. And for that reason, He called you, love your enemies. Why? Tomorrow you may become the enemy. You need someone to love you to come back to the city. You need someone to open the door for you to walk in. You are the door. I am the door. The lively stone is the door. If your heart is willing to receive the salvation of God, the Lord can give someone, bring someone the light, the very true light that you have. Through you, saving someone is the door. The mighty hand goes to your heart, opens the door, touch someone, bring him back to the church, bring him back to the congregation, bring him back to the marvelous life. Then you say, Lord, bless us to be the vessels of honor. Then the heart must have a door, compassion. Mercy rejoices against judgment. Do you have compassion? Do you have compassion? Soul burden is different. Compassion is different. Mercy is different. Let's not bring everything together. Now, this is how Nehemiah offered himself, committed himself, surrendered himself with fasting and praying. That's it. Now let's look at chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 10. Verse 10 says, this is that Sanballat was introduced in the book of Nehemiah, not in chapter 4. Last Sunday, I wanted to finish that part so that we can have a root cause of why this action was committed. Verse 10 says, when Sanballat, the Horonite, and Tobiah, the servant. Now you see how Tobiah is introduced? The servant. Servant to whom? Tobiah, the servant, Ammonite. So the Horonite and the servant, Ammonite. So the family line is identified by God. Heard of it. It grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. Jealousy, anger, frustration, cunningness. Now let's read 2 Timothy chapter 3 again. Go back to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 3. Look at the verse 3, how it finishes. Without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce. Look at the last one. Despisers of those that are good. Amen? Despisers of those that are good. Now you read verse 10. Sanballat, Tobiah, they heard it. It grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. What a mockery. So there is a man who came for the welfare of the children of Israel. So when Sanballat and Tobiah heard of it, it grieved them. They got very angry. They were filled with disquietness. Why? Because they heard someone came to do good. What 2 Timothy said, despisers of those that do good. Amen? Now let's continue. Chapter 3, verse 1. Verse 1 is where the name that I mentioned last Sunday is properly introduced. Look at his name. Then Eliashib, the high priest. What? The high priest. Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with his brethren, the priest, and they builded the sheep gate. Beautiful. In this chapter, you will see different names of different gates. Sheep gate. Even there is a gate called Port of Dung. And now you know why Rabshakeh was mocking them, of those who were sitting upon the wall, saying them, you go and eat your own dung and drink your own piss. Right? Because the wall has different gates, different areas. And there was a name given to everything. Now, Eliashib, the high priest, he is talking about the sheep gate. He went to his brethren and sheep gate, sanctified it, and set up the doors of it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Stop it here. Set up the doors of it. The one who set up the door was the one who was deceived later. Did you notice that? Eliashib was called the high priest. Amen? He and his brethren, they went and sanctified the doors of sheep gate. You see, Lord, we are a flock. We want new sheep to enter the church. Oh, is it so? Then sanctify your door, your heart, for me to work in you, to touch people, to shine my light through you, to bring them to the church. It's not that wooden piece of door. It's your heart. It's my heart. Amen? We are the wall and we are the door. We are the house and we are the church. We are the temple and we are the tabernacle. It is the same. The Lord is all in all, so He wants you to be those whom He can be all in all. Now, doors were set up. Even to the tower of Mia, they sanctified it unto the tower of Hananiah. Now you see, there are towers and there are doors and there is a wall. Correct? The tower is very tall for the watchman to sit and see far. So the Lord raises the watchman to a higher ground, so they will be placed upon the tower to watch over. Amen? So that their vision will be far reaching compared to those who are on the floor working on something else. The different members of the body fulfill the different tasks for the Lord. Now, verse 2, and next to him builded the men of Jericho, and next to him builded Zakur the son of Imri, but the fish gate did the sons of Asenah build, who also laid the beams thereof, set up the doors thereof, and the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. So, whole chapter 3 introduces people who are in charge of particular section. If you look at the entire wall as a body, there are different body parts were introduced. What the finger is doing, what the hand is doing, what the leg is doing. Something like that. Now the doors. Why there must be a door? For you to go in and come out. Amen? Now let's continue. Chapter 7 is where we ended last Sunday. After this, Nehemiah starts building the wall. He receives support. Chapter 4 is where Sanballat decided to enter the scene with Tobiah. And we saw what they did with Geshem and Goshmu, the Arabian, who sent them the letter. Now we are going to continue from chapter 7. I want to read again from verse 1. Nehemiah chapter 7, verse 1. Chapter 3, verse 1 introduces Eliashib, the high priest who set up the doors. Amen? Remember this. Now chapter 7. Now it came to pass, when the wall was built, read this very carefully, not during the wall was being built, not before the wall was built, when the wall was built, I had set up the doors, and the porters and the singers and the Levites were appointed. Amen? They were not appointed before the wall was built, after the wall was built. Why? When there was an introduction of Shemaiah, the very important test for Nehemiah, when Shemaiah was coming in the form of godliness and telling Nehemiah, come, let's go to the tabernacle, let's go to the temple, let's go to the house, shut all the doors, let's discuss. The enemy is fierce, they are coming to devour us, we must be scared. He was trying to instill fear of men in the heart of the governor, the son of God, the child of God, Nehemiah. Then Nehemiah, he overcome the battle by declaring, I perceive God had not sent him. And he told him, I'm not coming. Mark those who cause division among you and avoid them. And what we read in 2 Timothy chapter 3? Those who are having the form of godliness, denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Is there any difference between these three verses? One from book of Romans, this from 2 Timothy. I repeat again. Mark those who cause divisions among you and avoid them. Mark, discern, know, declare. In 2 Timothy 3, it says, having a form of godliness, denying that power thereof, from such turn away. Don't you dare to have ungodly counsel with them. From such turn away. Do not make your garment to be dirty. Don't have any stain. You are called to be spotless, blameless. Amen? Now let's read this. And then I gave my brother Hanani and Hananiah, the ruler of palace, charge over Jerusalem. For he was a faithful man and feared God above many. This is where we stopped last Sunday. And Nehemiah says, I appointed this person. It is not I. The Lord appointed this person through me, for he was a faithful man and feared God above many. Many are called, few are chosen. Feared God above many. In the perilous times, people love themselves above the love of God. People fear men above the fear of God. Correct? So now, let's read verse 3. And I said unto them, let not the gates of Jerusalem be opened until the sun be hot. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let not the gates of Jerusalem be opened until the sun be hot. Until the sun be hot. Do you really think that the Lord will bless us to evangelize and bring souls to the church if we do not have the wildfire? Do you think the flame is sufficient for us to burn the entire flesh and carnality? We are called to have the wildfire. Amen? Not that little small lamp. It is for us to show that I am the temple of God. The lamp, the flame must not be put up. But when we do the work of the Lord wants us to embrace the wildfire of the Holy Ghost. When Jesus said to the apostles, when you receive the Holy Ghost, you will have the power to be of my witness. Amen? Without that power, none of us can be his witness. And that is the power those who are having the form of godliness, they deny. It is not them they deny. The truth is, the Lord said, you will say, my Lord, I healed this, I did this, I performed this miracle, I did all of this in your name. Having the form of some godliness. And the Lord said, I never knew you. I don't know you. Who are you? May I know your name? I don't know you. Who are you? Having the form of godliness is saying, telling, living, doing everything, hiding behind, I'm a child of God. God told me. God told me. The Lord told me this. The Lord told me this. I told you. Never bring the name of the Lord to justify your life. Let the Lord justify himself in your life. You are the tabernacle. A building cannot design itself. The potter, the designer, the builder designs. He will decide where should be the door. He will decide where should be the window. He will decide the length and breadth and height. If the building says, I'm going to be like this, you will be a crooked generation, like the brood of vipers. Now, this beautiful example of Nehemiah and Hezekiah is completely setting apart from what happened to Moses, Korah, Datham and Abiram. It's very different. Because there was a journey, they were in wilderness. They had no city, no wall, correct? Here, they have a city, they have a tabernacle, they have a temple, they have walls, they have everything. There is an appointed king. There is an appointed governor. Remember, Nehemiah was a governor. But anyone who is filled by the Spirit of the Lord the Lord blessed him with prophecy. Because you speak by the Spirit. Whatever you say shall come to pass. Amen? King David was a prophet. Correct? Moses was a prophet. Yes? Aaron was a prophet. Samuel was a prophet. But King David was not a priest. He had priests to raise all the offerings, sacrifices to the Lord. But for all of us, the Lord called us kings, saints, priests, all. Amen? For He quickened us. But what happened, whatever happened there, people got stuck with that hierarchical approach and man made a government of it. In all the denominations, they have titles. If you are like a minister for 10 years, you will become senior minister. Are you kidding me? Which, then how you call Moses? Senior, senior, senior leader of Israel? He was simply called the servant of God. But you know, the beautiful title that Moses had, that not many have, that title, God told them, my servant Moses, my servant Moses, my servant Moses. Amen. Tell me how many of us can have that name? You can say, I am a servant of God. I am a servant of God. That is different. But God comes down and tells everyone from the Old Testament until the New Testament letters, my servant Moses, my servant Moses. He took complete ownership of Moses. Is there any other better title that Moses can gain other than God Himself to come down and say, my servant, my servant, my servant? How sweet it is to hear this. Can the God come and tell us, my child, my child, my child? What else you want? What else you want? Can I come and tell the pulpit, oh, I'm not going to preach if you don't call me pastor. I want to be the child of God. I want to be the son of God. I want to be a brother to you. That's it. That is the greatest, beautiful, mighty, divine thing that happened to you. Not what people call you. Not what you want to become. It is not God's work. David could have been a king, but to God, he was a child. Was keeping in his bosom. He's singing songs to the father. It's a child-father relationship. It's a master-servant relationship. But he called all of us friends. Amen? Amen? What is the greatest achievement that Abraham did to you? To me, that verse when God told Abraham, Abraham, my friend, is there anything that I hide from you? Come on. When I read that verse, I was crying. The entire life of Abraham is justified in that single verse. Case closed. Can we live a life where God can come and tell you, my friend, is there anything that I hide from you? Amen. How beautiful it is. For God to say that, not anyone. For God to come down and say, Abraham, my friend, come on. Let's go and talk face to face. Is there anything that I hide from you? What a beautiful, powerful testimony of Abraham for God to tell him the first God of Abraham. Amen? Not God of Terah. Not God of someone. God of Abraham. God of Isaac. God of Jacob. For they lived and died until the last breath where the name of the Lord was glorified in them. Until you die, that title will not be given to us. Until that seed fell on the ground, brings forth the fruit, that seed will not gain that name. This Bible was written recently, right? Do you think that the Lord would allow us to say, oh, God of this man, God of this woman, if that woman or man still have a long life to go, then still die as someone against God. God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob. Can the Lord bless us to live a life after we die, when people can look at our life and say, I can see Jesus, the testimony of Jesus in this man's life, God of Richard Gann, God of William Maryam Branham, God of Billy Joseph. We can say that, right? Amen. If the Lord justified His work in you, then your God is my God. I can say God of this man, God of this servant, God of David, because we are His children. But for God's name to be glorified, we must die in faith. We must die in faith. I repeat. We cannot expect to have anything when we are alive. For what? For what we want to be called something or someone? For what? If our life is not going to glorify His name. May the Lord bless us to be the tabernacle, and when we die, it becomes a tomb. When they open the tomb, the body is not there. Mary was looking for body. Martha was looking for Jesus' body. Where is body? And the two men in white apparel said, what are you doing here? He's not here. He is not here. Oh, my uncle died last Sunday. He is not here. Oh, my pastor died last year. He is not here. He is in a better place than you. He is with someone who is greater than anything, anyone. They are in a beautiful place than all of us. They are waiting for us to see us on the other side, to continue to sing, not in this dress, the fine linen clothes. May the Lord bless us to understand why we are breathing today. Is it you go and work for your employer, earn salary, eat three meals of food? It's all important. But seek the kingdom of heaven first. Everything else will be added unto you. He would never make his child to beg for his life. For he is the king. I am a child of the king. You are a child of the king. But we are called to share the burdens. Amen? It is more blessed to give than to receive. But if there is no one to receive, how can you give? The one the Lord humbles, ask. The one the Lord bless, he gives. But it goes other way around. Then you will be in a position to ask. Then the Lord will raise someone to give you. It goes on, a cycle. Sharing and caring. Share the burden with one another. Fulfill the love of Christ. It's not the law of Christ. The love of Christ. Let's read this. Verse 5 and 6. And my God put in my heart to gather together the nobles and the rulers and the people. They might be reckoned by genealogy, and I found a register of the genealogy of them which came up at first and found written therein. These are the children of the province and went up out of the captivity of those that had been carried away, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away and came again to Jerusalem and Judah, everyone unto the city. And after that, there is a huge list of genealogies. Names. Every name was remembered, written. God is very specific. Amen. Every time you think of trying to generalize God, remember, God told Noah, I want this ark to be of this inch precision dimension. Remember that. How precise the master whom you serve. He counts every single drop of his righteous people. He is very specific. Very specific. He is very specific. Inch precision. Now, let's turn to chapter 8. Chapter 8, it begins the next stage. Because Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem, now there is a new guy added, Shemaiah. This is where we left last Sunday. Remember? We have two stories to finish. When I say finish, for the Lord to finish his lesson in our heart. Amen? One, King Hezekiah, King Sennacherib, his servant Rabshakeh, and those three, Eliakim, and the other two, scribe and Asaph, son of Joah. On the other side, we have a governor. See, there is a difference between a king and a governor. And that is why Sanballat was mocking, you are trying to be the king. You want to build a wall and you want to put yourself in the center. You are trying to be some king. Mocking, because Nehemiah was not a king. He was a governor subject to authority. So here we have Nehemiah, and the adversary team is keep on increasing. Sanballat, servant Tobiah, then we have Geshem, then we have Shemaiah, right? Eliashib, the high priest, is not hired yet. Shemaiah is hired already. Now chapter 8 says, and all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. In this word, it could have been different. The book of the law of the Lord, which the Lord had commanded to his servant Moses. Correct? But the Lord did not say that. He wanted Moses to be honored by the way he lived and died for him. It is called the law of Moses. Amen? And it also confounds people to worship Moses, to become some sort of idol worshippers to Moses who gets stuck. It happens every generation, every church age, even now. Which the Lord had commanded to Israel, and Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, And all that could hear with understanding, blessed be the name of the Lord. This verse is so deep. We read in 1 Chronicles chapter 13 and 14, the room that is occupied with unlearned cannot say Amen, because Amen is the name of the Lord. For the Lord to listen to you, to pronounce His name, you must be a learned child of God. Receive the truth, understand the truth, have the belief, exercise the faith. That is the name of learned. Not learning, learned. Receive the truth, salvation, grace and mercy, understand it, believe it and do it. Learn. Now you see how beautiful it is. Ezra, the priest, the scribe is speaking, and it says, who can listen? Not everyone can listen. Not everyone can be say, I am the congregation of the Lord. Not everyone. The Lord says, it says, and all that could hear with understanding. We sing with understanding. We hear with understanding. We see with understanding. And we live with understanding. Amen. Only that could hear with understanding, as we read, let him hear what the Spirit is speaking to the churches. Amen. He that hath an ear. He that humbled himself, surrendered himself in the altar, yielded himself to the Spirit to take control of him. Only that he can listen. He that hath an ear, let him hear. The first day of the seventh month, and he had Jairus before the street that was before the water gate, from the morning until midday, before the men and the women, and those that could understand. Again it comes. Those that could understand. My sheep hear my voice. Children of God understand the voice of God. Children of God understand the message of God. Now, and those that could understand, and the ears of the people that attentive, blessed be the name of the Lord. Are we attentive? Do we pay attention? Do we give the best version of ourselves when we focus, when we pray, when we listen to sermon, when we worship to the Lord? If I say, oh my Lord, I can watch a particular documentary 6 hours straight without absolutely no distraction. But when I praise and sing, there is some distraction. When I listen to some message, there is some distraction. Something is wrong. Something is wrong when Abel is sacrificing something better to someone and sacrificing something that is not better than the best version of himself. Then it is not a sacrifice. God will say, I am pleased. That happened to Cain. We are not here to do something like Cain. We are here to do what Abel did. The best of his sacrifices for the Lord. The best of my physical strength, the best of my mental strength, the best of my heart, my soul, my everything. I say, Lord, I give all to you, better than what I do in this world. Better than what I could do in my work, in my home. I just give the best to you on Sunday. Then you can say, I am attentive. If not, we are not attentive. You see, those who understand are those who are attentive. This is the blessing they receive to be called the those who could understand, because they were attentive, willing to listen, willing to receive, yielding. Amen. Yielding to the Spirit. Attentive unto the book of the Lord. We are all called to be attentive to the word of God. Amen. Verse 4, and Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose, and beside him stood Matthias, Shema, Ananiah, and Urijah, Hilkiah, and Messiah on his right hand, and on his left hand, Pedaiah, and Mishael, Malkiah, and Hashum, and Hashbadama, Zechariah, and Meshulam. When I saw that, one on the right hand some group, on the left hand some group, should remind you two things. When our Lord was crucified, there was someone on the left, someone on the right. That is for the Lord to show us the judgment, life and death. Not just that, when Moses was lifting his arms and praying, his hands were so heavy, the Lord put Aaron on one side, her on the other side, for both the hands must be lifted. This is all. This is not all. This is not all. This is not all. This is all. The outstretched that you can go thus far, to the best of your hand can do. If I have only one hand, this is my all. If I have no hand, this is my all. Amen? Amen? Whatever I do with my best, my all. That Samaritan woman and the woman who threw the 2 mice, whatever she had, She gave all. And Jesus said, she is a lesson to all of you. How faithful you are. Attentive, yielding, humbling, believing. Amen? And Ezra opened the book. Only after that, he opened the book. In the sight of all the people. Those people were identified for the reason they could hear, for the reason they were attentive. Now they receive the blessing to be called to the sight of the people. We walk not by sight, by faith. Amen? We walk not by sight, by faith. Amen? Now Ezra is opening the book of the law to the sight of the people. Because they are attentive, they believe, they are ready to receive it. And for he was above all the people, and when he opens it, all the people stood up. The Spirit entered into me and set me upon my feet. When the Lord blesses children, we are spiritually standing. Amen. Verse 6, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. All the people answered, Amen. When Ezra blessed God, all the people answered, Amen. Now you remember, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and 14 says, the room that is filled with unlearned cannot say Amen. They were not attentive. They could not understand. They could not listen. The truth must be revealed by the Spirit itself. Amen. For us to have the learning, understanding to say Amen, I'm not saying the physical way of shouting Amen. The spiritual way of you say Amen and the Lord say, yeah, I'm hearing. I'm listening. You are saying that Amen. When the Father identifies our cry, that is the Amen, the name of the Lord. And they bowed, lifting up their hands, and they bowed their head and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Now you understand why when someone asks us to bow our head. Understand. We are created from the dust. Amen. He breathed his life unto us. Amen. We lift up our hands and bow our head for the Lord to take complete control of your life. The head of our life. The master. To submit to the master. That I don't want my mind, my knowledge, my wisdom to have anything in my life. But I want to receive the knowledge and wisdom of Christ. Now, this is what Nehemiah was doing in the life of those people with his brethren, Ezra and other brethren. Although some turned against him to stab in the back, like Shemaiah and Eliashib, the Lord raised up the standard. Amen? If the enemy says, I'm going to build a 30-story building to hit you hard, the Lord will make you stand on the clouds. Amen. If the enemy says, I'm going to throw you into the ocean, the Lord will make you stay in the belly of the fish. Amen. Children of God, they find shelter in God. Amen. Not the boat. The boat might be broken. As you sing the song, my sails might be broken. Everything might be torn. But I shall rest in the eye of the storm, for I am holding on to my anchor. The anchor is your shelter. Now let's read this. This introduction tells us what happened to the life of people from the moment of adversity started. Your strength will be uncovered at the time of adversity. That is the reason the Lord allows wolves. That is the reason the Lord allows having a form of godliness people to exist. For the children of God to come victorious, to be forged to fire. Now let's read this. Chapter 8, I will read from verse 8. And they read in the book of, in the law of God distinctly and get a sense and cause them to understand the reading. Distinctly, separation, right? Separation means distinction. The Lord separates his people from understanding of world to understand his word. And they could understand. And Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra, the priest, the scribe, and Levites that taught the people, said all to the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God, and mourn not, nor weep. The introduction of Nehemiah was all about mourning and weeping, correct? Chapter 1, verse 3 and 4 introduces Nehemiah. He starts with crying, weeping, mourning with fasting and praying. 8 chapters later, now there is a promise given. Don't cry. Don't weep. Don't mourn. Everything is done. Why? Because this day is holy unto the Lord. And then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions unto them from whom nothing is prepared. The vessels of honor cover the vessels of dishonor. And send to them for those whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord, neither be ye sorry. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. It's our strength. It's my strength. So the Levites stilled all the people. How beautiful the words are written. The Levites stilled all the people, saying, hold your peace, for the day is holy, neither be ye grieved. Joshua told the entire congregation, when the ark of the Lord was moved to the center, when the armed men in the front, seven priests later, Joshua said, be quiet. Be quiet. Until the great shout comes, be silent. Be quiet. Be calm. Have the rest that the Lord has given unto thee. The joy of the Lord is your strength. If you are being keep on noisy, you are not telling the people, God is in me. You are telling something that I am confused. Something is not right. I became a vessel of disquietness. A vessel of disquietness is not the child of God. Now, verse 11, it says, hold your peace. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. Now this is where we should reflect this upon our life. They did not do it because it was told by them. They did it because they could understand what was given unto them. Understanding is the main focus of the entire chapter 8. Understanding is your separation. Understanding is my separation. From what? From the righteous judgment of God of all things that do not understand, that do not obey. Disobedience is lack of understanding. Pride is lack of understanding. Self-righteousness is lack of understanding. Dishonest gain is lack of understanding. Dividing the congregation is lack of understanding. Speaking of evil someone behind their back is lack of understanding. It is not the fruit of the Holy Ghost. Now, let's continue. Chapter 9, verse 1. Now, in the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting and with sackcloth and earth upon them. Wait a minute. This is what King Hezekiah did. When he listened from what the three messengers told him, he came, his clothes rent, put on sackcloth, went for prayer. Now, children of Israel, they did the same. Fasting, sackcloth, and earth upon them. And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers. Hallelujah. The seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers. Not from neighbors, from strangers. And stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. This is verse 2. Remember the sequence very clearly. This is verse 2. Verse 3, and they stood up in their place, and they read in the book of the law of the Lord, and their God, 1/4 part of the day, and another 1/4 part they confessed and worshipped the Lord their God. They stood up upon the staff of the Levite, Jeshua, and Bani, Kadmiel, Shebaniah, Bani, Sherbiah, Bani, and Chenani, and cried with a loud voice unto the Lord their God. Then the Levites, they are crying unto the Lord. And the way the verse 5 ends, you see, then the Levites, Jeshua, Kadmiel, Bani, Hashbaniah, Sherebiah, Hodijah, Shebaniah, and Petahiah said, stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever. And blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. So they are praising the Lord after their confession, after their preparation of their heart. Now, I want us to remember the preparation of the children of God that is being handled by God Himself here to the state to reach chapter 13. chapter 13, because we have to put an end to the adversary which was introduced inside the temple of the Lord. Amen? The Lord will never leave a situation as an open-ended problem. He always closes it. Because He begin and He put an end. He closes it. Chapter 13 talks about separation of the people because they are willing to be separated. Verse 1 says, on that day, they read in the book of Moses in the audience of the people, and therein was found written that the Ammonite and the Moabite should not come into the congregation of God forever. Let's read this again. Amen. Should not come into the congregation of the Lord forever. Amen. Remember, there was an Ammonite who was introduced to us beginning. Tobiah, the servant, was an Ammonite, right? The Lord identified some people according to their family, clan, generation that they serve. Why this decision has to be made? Do you see a difference? King Hezekiah did nothing other than pray. Went to the temple, prayed, angel of the Lord put an end, and God confounded, and the reproach was brought back to the own head when the two sons killed their very own father. Sennacherib was killed by two sons. Remember the name, Adramelech and Sharezer. They killed their father. When the father was worshipping in the house, which god? Some other god. Nishok. Now here, actions are taken by the governor because the Lord is watching. The Lord is watching for them to sanctify, consecrate, clean the place for Him to dwell. Amen? He is not keeping quiet. Now words are being spoken in these 14 verses, and we see why. Because they met not the children of Israel with bread and with the water, but hired Balaam against them. That is why there was a curse in verse 1. They shall not enter the congregation forever. Not for 7 days like for Miriam. Not for a certain period of slavery like Israel. Forever. When we read God, the Lord, I sworn unto my wrath, they shall never enter into my rest. Remember? How can the Lord swear in His love? I swear in my love that you will never enter into... No. That is love, right? How can I punish? Okay, I sworn in my wrath that you shall never enter into my rest. Now you read this. Ever enter into the congregation forever. Why? Why? Because they met not the children of Israel with bread and with water. What is bread to you, my brethren? What is water to you, my brethren? We know what is bread to me. We know what is water to us. Amen? We know what is wine to you. We know what is the new covenant to us. Whomsoever meet you without the bread of life, without the water of life, without the new covenant, the bread of Jesus Christ, avoid them. Turn away from them. Amen. Do not be ignorant. Amen. You are responsible. You are called by God to be responsible. Verse 3 says, but hired Balaam against them. Nehemiah said, I perceive that God had not sent him. Someone hired him. Tobiah hired him. Balaam hired Tobiah. Or Babylon hired Balaam. Anything that is against God, hired by something that was not of God. And that he should curse them. Howbeit our God turned the curse into a blessing. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now I ask you, can King Sennacherib bring a curse to you? No. He will be bringing the blessing of the Lord to you. Can Sanballat can bring curse to you? No. He will bring the blessing to you. Can the enemy bring a curse to you? No. He will bring the blessing to you. For everything work together for your good. Amen. For God is good. Your strength will be uncovered in the time of adversity. God cannot deceive you. He won't. He will let the world come and deceive you. He is light. In Him there is no darkness. He will let the dark cloud to have dominion over you. And the Lord will grant you victory to overcome the dark cloud. To be covered by the overshadowing of His brightness. That is why the Lord says, He will turn the curse into a blessing. But the cursing will remain as a cursing to those who chose to be the vessels of adversity. That is why Jesus said, woe unto him, through him the offense comes. Amen. Correct? He said, the word of God said, woe unto him, through him the offense comes. Amen. Cursed forever, blessed forever. Which one we want? Verse 4. Now it came to pass, verse 3. Now it came to pass, when they heard the law, it was introduced to them as a law. It was introduced to them as a law. That they separated from Israel all the mixed multitude. Mark those who cause divisions among you and avoid them. If the Lord wants this church to be of 10 sincere people, blessed be your holy name. We want to be separated from all those things that profane the name, that defile the house, that brings shame to the name of the Lord. No. We don't want to be destroyed. Rather, we don't want to grow. Without the glory, what is the point of growing? Without the presence of the Spirit, what is the point of serving? We will be serving some Balaam. Verse 4, and before this, Eliashib the priest, having the oversight of the chamber of the house of our God, was allied unto Tobiah. Wow. So Shemaiah was not sufficient. They go to the priest, whom the Lord anointed, blessed, to set up the doors. Remember chapter 3, verse 1, introduces Shemaiah, Eliashib, as a high priest. Amen? High priest. Now what happened to the high priest? Allied. He found alliance. Partnership. Partners in crime. Partners in shame. Partners in offense. Partners in curse. Partners in wrath. Either you are partaking the heavenly calling or you are partaking the wine of his wrath. Either the blood of Jesus or the wine of wrath. We choose. Whom we serve. We choose. How come the high priest become the adversary, the vessel of Tobiah? How the Lord introduced Tobiah, my brethren? Servant. How shameful for Eliashib, who has the blessed assurance of the high priest, become the servant of the servant Tobiah. So Tobiah was introduced as the servant. Chapter 1, when Sanballat was introduced, Tobiah was called as the servant Ammonite. And Tobiah is Ammonite. Ammonite will not enter the congregation forever. The word was spoken. After this, Eliashib is uncovered. You see how the way the Lord uncovers things, it also tells us why he is doing certain things. Amen. Those 250 who burned that incense with Korah, Dathan, Abiram were not uncovered until the rebellion was completed. Amen. Those 250 were in the mixed multitude of Moses' camp. Korah, Dathan, Abiram, they went hiring people, causing division, sowing discord. And that sowing discord identified the 250 of whom they were their votes. Once that is done, the Lord came and devoured them. There was two different things happened that day. Korah and his people, the earth swallowed up, devoured them, right? But what happened to the 250? Anyone remember? Anyone? What happened to the 250? They were burnt by the fire. Why? It could have been the same punishment. But the Lord burnt them. Anything that is defiling with the altar, amen, there was a burning. What happened to the sons? Remember? Now let's read this. Verse 5. And he had prepared for him a great chamber. Come on. You and me are called to prepare the chamber of our heart as a tabernacle for him, for the Spirit to dwell. Amen? Eliashib, the high priest, prepared a chamber for whom? For Tobiah. Therefore, aforetime they laid the meat offerings and frankincense and the vessels and the tithes of the corn, the new wine, the oil, which was commanded to be given to the Levites and the singers and the potters and the offering of the priest. But in all this time was not I at Jerusalem, for in the 32nd year of Artaxerxes, king of Babylon, came I unto the king, and after certain days obtained I leave of the king. So Nehemiah is speaking of him and also uncovering what happened to Eliashib the priest. Verse 7. And I came to Jerusalem and understood of the evil that Eliashib did for Tobiah in preparing him a chamber in the courts of the house of God. Nehemiah spoke two words. I perceive, I understood. Right? He perceived Shemaiah was not sent by God. He understood Eliashib has committed something evil with Tobiah. He understood. When Ezra, the scribe, the priest was reading, those who understood, they heard the law. Amen? Now read this. And it grieved me sore. But Ezra said, do not grieve. Amen? Ezra told Nehemiah, do not grieve. Do not let anything to make you go on a weary state, to make you grieve. Remove it. Circumcise it. Throw it away from the congregation. Why? He says, and it grieved me so, therefore I cast forth all in the household stuff of Tobiah out of the chambers.
Amen.
Who did this? The governor who was appointed to be the builder of the wall had to do this. Why the Lord did not send the angel to smite? Ask yourself. Think. When Korah rebelled against Moses, Korah was not killed by his sons. The Lord opened the earth, devoured them. Amen? When the 250 pledged their alliance to Korah, they were not killed by Moses. The fire burnt them all. That issue was inquired by God Himself. Amen? It's a very serious matter when God steps into the scene. Very serious. And when He comes into the scene, when He sees His house, tabernacle, chamber is going to be defiled, He won't let it happen. If He has decided, His glory will stand firm in the tabernacle. If not, He will leave it. Now let's read this. Therefore I cast forth all the household stuff of Tobiah out of the chamber. In this word, I means our Lord and Savior, the word, our Master, what He did in the temple, when He entered, He saw people selling and buying. Those are not just things, you know. If you can sell your opinion, you are selling. If someone receives your opinion, you are buying. If you sell your justification, you are selling. If someone receives accusation, they are buying. That is why, receive not accusation, sell not opinion. You are selling and buying. What will happen? The word of God will draw you away from the chamber.
Amen.
For we are not here to sell and buy our fame. We are not here to sell and buy our thoughts. Never, ever do anything in the holy place of God to earn a name for you. You will be destroyed.
Amen.
Now, it says, then I commanded and they cleansed the chamber.
Amen.
He commanded, the word was spoken. King Hezekiah told the three, never say a word. Keep quiet. And those three went, and the adversary was mocking them. They kept quiet. Didn't say a word. They obeyed. Children of obedience. Children of God. Now, Nehemiah commanded, they cleansed the chambers. They cleansed the chambers. And Peter brought again the vessels of the house of God with the meat offering and the frankincense. Now you remember, when the Lord strikes the shepherd, the sheep will scatter. Amen? Do you think it's a bad thing? No. The sheep that hear the voice of the Master will stay. For they stand firm on the foundation. Those who are thinking that they are the sheep, they will scatter. For they were not standing on the foundation. For that reason, when the Lord strikes the shepherd, His sheep hear His voice, stay. Stay wherever you are. The trees of righteousness have no less to run. That is, the Lord called you. You are a tree. Every time you walk on the road, look some tree, you see the tree is there. Day and night, it is there. You live and die, it is there. Because it has no legs, or it would have run for some shelter. Tree has no legs. Your feet shot with the preparation of gospel of peace. You're rooted. Don't move. Do not move from the way of holiness. Do not leave the congregation. Do not leave the presence of God. You will be burnt. Never think that your strength is more stronger than the fellowship of His saints. No. Where there are two or more, He is in the midst. And those two or more must be the vessel of His honor. Amen? If not, then we will become Tobiah, Shemaiah, Eliashib, assuming that they are serving the God, having a form of godliness, and the Lord will say, I never know you. Do we want that? Chamber must be kept clean for Him. For He walked in the midst of His camp. Amen? Few more verses, I close. Verse 10, and I perceived that the portions of the Levites had not been given them. For the Levites and the singers that did the work were fled every one to his field. Then contended I with the rulers and said, why is the house of God forsaken? And I gathered them together and set them in that place. Set them in that place. For that reason, King Hezekiah's life was extended for 15 more years to set the house in order. Remember, does that mean King Hezekiah was about to die? No. The Lord wanted him to die when he wanted him to die. Those 15 years are for you and me to see. But for the Lord, Hezekiah will draw his last breath when the Lord wants him to draw his last breath. For the world, they thought he's going to die. But the Lord said, no, I have 15 more years. I have some work to do with him. Now, you see this. Verse 12, then brought all the Judah, the tithe of the corn, and the new wine, and the oil unto the treasuries, and they made treasurers over the treasuries, Shelemiah the priest, Zadok the scribe, and of the Levites, Pedaiah, and next to them was Hanan the son of Zakur, the son of Mataniah, for they were counted faithful. Again, Nehemiah hitting the bullseye. Those who were faithful were appointed. Those who were faithful were appointed. Those who were scornful removed. For the chamber must be cleansed. And their office was to distribute unto their brethren. Remember me, O my God, concerning this, and wipe not my good deeds that I have done for the house of my God and for the officers thereof. Only after this, the Sabbath day was restored for them. After the children of God had the courage and boldness to clean the chamber. This is very different from what Hezekiah did. Because the invasion never entered into the midst. It was settled outside. The Lord settled everything. Do not worry about the wild beasts, those who do not have the truth disturbing you. Focus on your highway. But in that highway, if there are some trying to divide, cause deception, trying to make you weary, have that mind of Christ to do the will of God. The Lord did not say, go and wrestle. The Lord said, turn away from such, avoid. If not, they will drive you to the place where they are. Now, let's go back to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and we close for today. We will continue with the grace of God next week. We read until verse 6. I repeat verse 6. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins and led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never be able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You see the verse 7. You can read thousands of books throughout your life. Still the Lord will come and say, you know nothing. Ever learning and never be able to come to the truth. The guy who was called as a thief, a sinner, crucified next to Jesus, he came unto truth without learning, but just by believing. Amen? Amen? But that is the learning for him. He learned that his master is next to him. He saw, he believed, he learned. He became a learned and he said, Lord, remember me. And the Lord says, today you shall be in paradise. Amen. Ever learning, do not make yourself weary. Oh, read this, read that. Read the word of God. Receive yourself from the word of God. You are the part of the word. Understand the work of God in you. All the servants of God taught us to go back to the word. Everyone who said that, they became the idol. Why? Because when the Lord sent the sheep shepherd, the sheep scattered. What is the scattering? Some sheep stick to Moses, start worshipping him. Some sheep stick to Abraham, start worshipping him. The sheep of God remains their focus on the only one whom they can worship. The Savior, the only Savior. There is no absolute other than the word of God. Amen? Now, hear what it ends. Ever learning, never be able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, as James and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further. For their folly shall be manifest unto all men, also that also was. Now you know what happened to Eliashib, what happened to Shemaiah, what happened to Rabshakeh. Why? The last verse is the same as Isaiah 7:7. What a perfect number. Chapter 7, verse 7. Anything against God's will, it shall not stand, it shall not come to pass. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We shall continue next week by God's grace. Let's rise and close.
Our Lord, our God, thank you, Lord, for the truth. Thank you, Lord, for the eyes to see you. Thank you, Lord, for the ears to listen to your voice. And thank you, Lord, for the heart, the chamber that receives you. May you bless us, O Lord, to sanctify our hearts, to consecrate our hearts. For we are the new holy city, Jerusalem. For we are the city, the glory of the Lord, dwells in the midst of, surrounded by the wall of fire. Bless us, O Lord, to have the heart that is filled with compassion and love and soul burden to serve thee and to preach the gospel of peace to those who are wandering in darkness. Help us, Lord, to open the doors for souls to come to thee. Help us, Lord, to shine the light to glorify your name. Thank you, Lord, for teaching us concerning the wrath outside the wall, inside the wall, outside the house, inside the house, outside the camp, inside the camp, outside the city, inside the city. Bless all of us to be always present inside Jerusalem. Bless us, O Lord. Bless us, O Lord, to remain as a lively stone that you used to build the wall, that you used to build the house. Thank you, Lord, for all things. We give all good to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.